For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right.
Welcome back to The Clink, Stories of Redemption. This is season 5 and today is going to be an absolute ripper. This man is an Australian hip-hop artist, has a cult following, and has an absolutely amazing story of redemption. But let me tell you, he's come from the bottom and he's climbed his way to the top. Husky! Welcome to The Clink, brother.
Oh, my brother.
My goodness. Wow, here we are. Here we are, brother. I am absolutely stoked to finally get you on. I've been in the shadows for some time. I hate being a groupie or a follower and sitting there and making out. But you know what? You go all right. And
hey, you've been dark horsing on. I never even knew. I was following you too. I didn't know you even listened to my shit.
There you go, bro. That's the beauty of it. If you can just learn to just be humble, sit down sometimes and just go with the flow. Yeah, sometimes you just never know. Brother, how are you going?
Better than ever, lad. Fucking, I just got out, as you know, fucking, just back doing family shit, you know what I mean? Like, this COVID shit's a bit fucked, but, like, I wasn't really trying to do much anyway, you know what I mean?
When you say the COVID, for those listening, I mean, you guys are in lockdown again and just been extended, so this is, you know, really a really tough time for a lot of people.
It's a bad one.
It is. I mean, for me personally, I don't take this the wrong way, anyone out there, because my heart goes out to anybody that is struggling out there mentally. Definitely. I guess when you have been to jail, for me personally, out of 6 years, I did 12 months Segro and gang, you know, unit sort of jail, which means this is Segro. Nobody's what you call locked down as such. I mean, you can still do the things technically you want to do, but it is hard, you know, and I don't know, for me, you can still train, still eat what you want, still be with your missus, you know, be with your kids. It's a little bit different, but also, too, it could be a positive time for productive stuff.
Yeah, that's, bro. I'm fucking, I set up this little spare room in my house, bro, like fucking, just to get inspired and that, you know what I mean? I set it up like it was a room when I was a teenager, living in share houses, living in fucking squats and shit, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little fucking double bed, little wardrobe. And then fucking desk next to it. Like, I could have set up a little studio, but, like, that's not what inspires me, bro. I don't like going to a studio. That just adds pressure.
I've got to say, one thing I love about you, and I'll be very, very honest, I'm not going to piss in your pocket here, but you're just real. There's no bullshit. And
it's hard not to be, cuz, like, you know what I mean? Like, people act like it's a hard thing to do, but it's really not.
And the reality is, your life has been a fucking tough one. You come from addiction from a very, very young age with both your parents?
Yes, bro. I was born, and she was on, like, methadone and that, you know what I mean? So, like, I was fucking
bad. Let's talk about that, Ben. Let's go back and let's talk about who Husky was before Husky was. Let's talk about Ben.
Let's do that. Fucking hell. I grew up fucking Wollongong, as people know, but, like, I never really was anywhere steady, you know what I mean? I don't have a solid group of mates from one area. My mates are spread out all across the country and that. Like, I've fucking done heaps of foster homes and shit. I've done my grandparents, like, they pretty much done the main looking after me, you know what I mean? And they did, like, a staunch job. When I was 18 months or something, my mum started working, prostitute, you know what I mean? She's fucking started working again, and my dad went to jail, and she just dumped me down at the, dumped me, I suppose. She left me at one of her mates' house, at a mission down Wollongong, Kumbadichie Mission. Shout out to the brothers. And it's down Berkeley. I don't even know what's still there anymore, bro. But she left me there, and about a week went by, and this chick that I was staying at, she's another 20-year-old worker herself, you know what I mean? She's got 6 kids or something like that. And I was just another kid, you know what I mean? She's all right to look after me for a week. Like, she was getting a bit worried. She called my grandparents, ended up getting their number and saying, like, Nula, my mum, she hasn't been back. She dropped your fucking Ben here. I don't know what's going on. My nan goes, I'm coming to get him now. She goes, look, he's asleep. It's fucking 8 o'clock at night or something. She goes, he's asleep. Come get him in the morning. And my nan was like, I don't want to even do that, because she's just fucking old school, you know what I mean? And she knew that my mum went to the mission to fuck up. So in her eyes, the mission is a bad place, bro. You know what I mean?
Like, are either your parents indigenous?
Nah, my sister's side of the family's all Aboriginal, and I grew up like that, but not at all in my blood, no.
Well, I was the same, brother. I grew up in the back streets of Ed's, Bradbury, Campbelltown.
Hectic, true.
But yeah, that was the houses back then, mate. It was a mish. I was the white fella keeping my shoes on my feet.
Yeah, like for my whole life, I grew up being called a white cunt. You know what I mean?
Let's be right. You were just a gub.
I'm just the white cunt. You know what I mean? I'd never thought. Like I never really knew anything. I had to practice how to fucking talk white. You know what I mean? I was fucking sounding like some fucking ghetto cunt because I just grew up in ghetto areas, lad. You know what I mean? I'm saying cunt. I'm saying this and that. Instead of, like, speaking, I'm saying fucking free instead of three, and, like, how to teach myself how to speak properly, bro.
I want to say, though, but for me personally, growing up in that environment, you just become accustomed to the culture and the way of life. And, you know, I've walked into many jails, many places, and been on many communities, and instantly they just go, oh, are you a black fella? You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I grew up as a black fella in a black fella environment, but I'm a white fella. You know what I mean? So, which has not been a bad thing because, you know, you understand the culture.
Like, even a pride thing anymore. Remember back in the day, it used to be Aussie pride, fucking,
that's all shit.
All the brothers getting tattoos of the flag and that. It's not even like that anymore. It's like, we're all Aussie cunts, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Some of the staunchest Aussie cunts I know, they're fucking Lebanese. They come here when they were kids. They weren't even born here, bro, you know what I mean?
That's right.
They're more Aussie than I'll ever be. They're out here fucking going on boats, fishing every week. They're out here having barbecues. I don't do none of that shit that's considered Aussie, you know what I mean? I'm like, these ones are Aussie.
No, I'm not going to say this and offend anyone, and if I do, well, that's just the way it is. But once you've done a solid whack, and I mean a solid whack, like I've been going 14 years all up, bro, and I'm 45. You know what I mean? My last one was 6. To me, jail's just fucking no place, mate. You got family, you got kids out there. When you see your wife pregnant in court, and, you know, and they're looking at 10 years, and the judge hands you down a set, you know, top of 8, and you just watch her go, no! You know, she's a month out from dropping you. Now, fuck, you know what I mean? You've got to really start to wonder, and you've got years ahead of yourself to start to look into who you are and start to wonder, really, is that what my life's about? My kid's then going to live that life, you know what I mean? You know, for you, you come from, you know, behind the eight ball, so to speak, to start with.
Yeah,
both parents with addiction, foster care. Let's go back to there because I think that's very important, and I think this is where people need to understand who Husky was before Husky.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Fuck. There's a lot of incidents, you know what I mean? Like I think my brain, because it blocks stuff out, you know what I mean? So, like, if I'm trying now to think back, I can't think of much before I was a teenager, bro, because it's all blanked, bro.
Do you think that's every now predominantly and again, through trauma?
Will trigger me? It's definitely trauma-wise. Like, but every now and again, I'll be having a conversation with one of the boys, and then it will remind me of something. And because, like, I'm so desensitized to shit, I'll just bring it up and I'll be like, bro, this reminds me of that time that, like, my mum came to my house. And, like, I'm from a family where, like, you either laugh or you cry, bro, because things are pretty dire in our situation.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't talk about things and be serious all the time, bro. It fucks you up. But not many people know how to deal with shit like that.
Yep.
So I'm with the boys and I'm going, bro, this reminds me of one time I remember, like, my mum was fucking getting fucking raped by some cunt, and then I've walked in and I've had to fight the cunt, and then, like, I'm talking about how I thought of it at the time, and I'm so far detached from that person, it's like I'm looking back on a past life. It's like I've fucking passed on and that person doesn't exist. It's like I'm watching a movie and I'm talking about a character. So I'm really detached from the situation. But all my mates are going, what the fuck did you see when you were a kid? Like, what? And I'm going, like, it's nothing to me. Chill. Try and get over that part. Let's talk about it. And they're just going, like, I don't know how to speak right now. You fucking just shook me.
People just hear these stories and they go, wow, I'm blown away. You know, it's like each of the guests that come onto the clink, every one of them has a very impacting story, just like yourself, that is able to then, you know, come through the other side. The amount of messages I get from people just going, that was heartbreaking, this and that. Yeah, they are. But this is the reality. This is the truth. And it's only now that we're able to have these, like, it's accepted to have these conversations publicly.
Yeah, you're right, bro. And, like, fucking, it's just been non-stop. Even now, to this point in my life, I think like let's say if this was a book or a movie, there's only one way I could see it ending, bro. And it's like, I'm scared that my daughter's gonna die. I'm scared that my girlfriend's gonna pass away. I'm scared that they're both gonna pass away, because that's the only like logical step that's next for me. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like the way it's gone, it's only gonna go one way. I can't ever think of like, we're gonna be all right. I still think like, bro, something's gonna happen. Like, I'm probably gonna get old and then like get cancer or something. And that's how the story, like when I'm happy, yeah. I just think like there's no relaxing. Bro, even like down to little things, like I know my girlfriend loves me, right? But when she says she loves me, just as a joke, my reflex is like, no, you don't. You know, like I can't. And that's only a little thing. That's only on the surface. Like, but that just says a lot. Like, my missus will be like, I love you, babe. I'll be like, no, you don't, as a joke. And she, like, laughs now because she's just copped it so much.
Yep.
Like, that's just me pushing her away because I'm like, nah, you really don't. But I know she does when I think about it, but that's just my reaction. I'm like, no, you don't.
She probably understands, your partner understands you now, because I'm sure you talk about this to her, surely.
Definitely. Like, so, I said, like, we'll be watching a movie and something will flash back and I'm just in there having the deepest conversation and she's just not prepared for this shit. She's watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, boom, this is reminds me of this. Or like I was saying just the other day, like one time, like I said, it's either laugh or cry with my family, bro. And my grandparents, Irish, funny cunts.
Yep.
And like they're pretty hard families too, you know, not drugs and that, but like I remember once I was at the dinner table and like my mum was with this fat cunt. And I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, my mum's a bad hustler, bro. She's a worker since she was fucking a little girl. Yep. She's been sex worker her whole life, bro. She knows how to hustle dudes. And she was with this cunt. And he was, like, on the nod. And she was on the nod. And then my mum's been trying to get... My grandparents have been trying to get my mum clean for years at this point.
So this is your mum's parents, obviously?
Yeah, and I was living with them.
Yep.
And then... She's just got out of jail for doing that 8 years for fucking the attempted murder. She shot someone in South Australia. She gets out of jail clean and then starts fucking up. My grandparents are like, not again. They know the signs. You can imagine if your daughter did that, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's a bad subject, bro. I never got how my grandparents could laugh about this shit. But now I do. And they're going like, she was at the table and she pissed herself at the table, at the dinner table, and we were all eating.
Yeah.
My grandparents had a go at her and like... Then this guy started saying, like, look, if it wasn't for heroin, I'd be on the streets. It saved my life. And then my grandparents are going, like, you fucking serious, cunt? You're going to try and tell me heroin's a good thing? My granddad ended up bashing this cunt, this fat cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, eventually this fat guy's, like, dribbling with his shirt ripped and blood all over him. And my mum's standing there with, like, a big patch of piss on her. And they're at the front going off their heads. Like, and my grandparents are just cracking up, bro. You know what I mean? They're like, and as a kid, I was like, this isn't funny, bro. But now I get it. my pops, this back cut, he goes, he's about 120 kilos, you know what I mean? My pop's fucking 5 foot tall.
Oh,
he
wow.
He jumped the cut out the door, and because he's so fat and he's like stumbled, he's took the whole fly screen with him. Yeah, and he's got up and he's holding the fly screen at the front of our door, holding the fly screen, trying to put it on, like on the knob. My mum's sitting there, like, walking around trying to gather her stuff up with piss on her. My pop's fucking yelling, get the fuck out of here. All the neighbours are out in the street, lad. I'm thinking, that's traumatic for me, cuz.
And but you know what? Absolutely. Like, I'm laughing at the way you're telling the story because the reality is going back to that period in your life, that would have been traumatic. That's your mum standing there, you know, and some fucking piece of shit you don't know. And you know mum's not well. You know mum's got an illness. She's an addiction. And yet here she is. She's humiliated herself at the table in front of her parents, and next minute, old mate's getting booted out by your grandpa. I mean,
and having them, that's imagine being him. Imagine being your daughter comes to dinner, she brings a gronk. That's bad enough.
Yeah.
And then she tells him that he's got her back on heroin
in front of you.
While she's on the nod, like dribbling
at the dinner table,
drowning in her fucking minestrone or something. Bro, and then that's bad enough, bro. And then he's stepped back and he's laughing about it.
Oh, so he thought it was a joke that she was humiliating herself in front of her family, basically.
Well, he wouldn't have at the time.
No, not at all.
It would have hurt. It would have killed him. Like, yeah. Imagine the feelings he thought. But then years later when he's telling me, it's a crack up.
It would be, you know, you talk about something like that in the family home, you know, and... For those that are listening out there today, I'm sure that you know, you will never experience anything like that. And nor should anyone have to experience that. But the reality is, this is addiction. This is life. And we're talking about, you know, your mum, whom, you know, she's the mother, you know, I mean, you're her child, but yet there's none of this worry about what you're seeing or hearing or the fact that, you know, this is actually happening in front of you, in front of the people that are loving you and caring for you, grandparents, her parents. You know, that really doesn't set a good path for you and what's going to come for your future.
And I remember at the time a lot of people told me, like, I'm sure you can tell by, like, talking to me, I'm not, like, your average person who's had the life I've had. You know, a lot of people that have lived my life, they're pretty dumb and at least not aware of this. Like, they're not really aware of their own situation.
No, they just repeat. And I went...
They're just the victim of their own activity, you know.
I went back to Ed's, back at Campbelltown there about 4 years ago to do a documentary on my life for SBS. And we filmed back in the Bronx, mate, straight in there.
Yeah.
And I can tell you now, the street I grew up in and the surrounding streets, there's still the same fucking families there. I hadn't been back there in over 30 years. And the same families are still there, different generations, same houses look the same as they did when I was 5 and 6 years of age. There is just either no common sense about wanting to break the cycle or they just don't give a fuck because... You're a prime example. I'm a prime example, and there's hundreds of us out there that can break the cycle. There's no way in the world. And this is no disrespect to anybody out there from the houses because it's made me who I am today. But if you've got a chance to not raise kids in that sort of environment, don't fucking do it. Get out of there.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, but at the same time, I've been a victim of it, lad. Like, I've had people say, like, you act like this cunt doesn't know what he's doing to himself. It's like, bro, I know what I'm doing to myself. But my life's so fucking shit at the time, but I've added up, do I want to be affected by drugs and have people judge me for that and, like, be considered a fucking junkie?
Yeah.
Or do I want to feel the way I want to feel? I'm feeling, like, every day without it. And, like, the risk to reward, it's all lose, but one outweighs the other just by a tiny bit. I knew, and like I said, I fucking was told as a kid, you're gonna do this and you're gonna go to jail and you're gonna fucking this. And like, I've never talked about it either, bro. And
you're right, brother.
I thought on this, I had a feeling that I was just gonna, I just felt like I would bring it up today. And it's kind of fucking me up this whole time. Like, I don't really know what to say with any other questions because this is in the back of my head, bro. But when I was a kid, it's the same, bro. Molested as a kid, a few different people, a few different times. It's a bit of a fucked up situation, but I've never even said them words to my girlfriend.
It's all right, brother. You're sitting here talking to another survivor, Husky, so.
Like, she knows, you know what I mean?
I got you, brother.
After that, it makes you really not want to be a victim of anyone else's bullshit.
Yep.
So if it's even some cunt that you consider a friend, you think they don't like you, you just wipe the cunt, fuck them. And I'm like that to this day. I've sabotaged so many things because I'm scared that it may be. It's fucked me up, bro.
It's hard, isn't it, mate? And the thing is, you know...
That's what made me... I thought, like, if I'm going to be a fuck-up, it's going to be because I chose to be.
Yeah. There's,
like, drugs, this and that. Like, I literally, like, I always thought I was just going to kill myself because I never thought I wasn't going to kill myself.
You were basically given the addiction before you even got to take a breath. You know, to come out a dome baby and then to have to deal with life as it was for you to witness the things that you would have seen. And I'm sure there's a lot more there that, you know, you won't speak about, and rightfully so. But the trauma that, you know, has now left you as a grown man that you've got to work through after many years of, I mean, your own addictions, jail time, wasted time, I call it, you know, and fuck, it's something that, you know, we've been down that road and you look around and look at now and... You know, like, we were chatting the other day, you and I, and I got to say to him, you said to me, oh, look, I'm just with my daughter, I'm doing, you know, I've got time with my... I was like, man, instantly, brother, speak no more, go and be a dad and love that moment, you know, embrace that moment. And you know, for someone whom, like yourself, had no, you know, connection and felt that love, the way you spoke as a father, you would never ever think that this was your beginning.
You're right, bro. And that's exactly how it feels like at the beginning, man. Like, fucking, even like up until this last 6 months of jail I done, I never thought I was this fucked up, bro. Like I fucking, I've been pushing shit down. Like, sorry, bro, it's fucking me up at the moment. I've been pushing shit down for so long.
Yep.
That I've never ever thought about it, bro. And I just sat there like, bro, there's some things I just don't want to say. Like me and my missus, I have to say it, or cunts are gonna assume it worse. I ended up, I cheated on my girlfriend, silliest mistake ever, and she found out, we ended up going through that, and then like, I've tried to deal with that, but that has brought up so much shit that I'm realizing now. Like for the last 6 months, I was actually in my head, like that's the shit that sends you crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Being stuck in your head, like you've done the cigarette, that I've only done 3 months, 3 weeks cigarette, you know, and
you know,
12 months. I've had boys tell me that they did 12 months cigarette, they got out, went straight to the cunt, stabbed old mate, and went back for another 2 years cigarette. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I can imagine, bro. But like having that, just being in jail and thinking and having like, bro, my missus. I've never had to think about my missus doing me dirty before, but because I'm guilty for what I've done.
Yeah.
I feel I don't trust it.
Yep.
But she's done nothing. It's just, that's how I am. I know, I'm never aware of this stuff before 6 months ago. And now I'm like, it's like, open my eyes to some shit. I wish I could go back, to be honest, and keep fucking up. It was easier. But life is better now. You know what I mean?
You know what? That's a powerful statement. And it's so true. It is. And I said this, you know, even through financial struggles, like, you know, there's times there in the last 5 years I've been home, you know, and I've looked and gone, fuck, I could make another choice and I could make us, we're okay, you know, we wouldn't be in this struggle. We could do, I could do this, I could do that, no one needs to know enough, whatever, you know what I mean? It might be, but I know I could pull us out, you know what I mean? And we'd be sweet.
Yeah.
But then I look at it and I go, if I got pinched for that one time that I was trying to pull us out, and I'm going to, like, next time I go, bro, it's a double figure, you know what I mean? I'm not prepared to do that double figure, so therefore I'm not prepared to make the mistake and do the crime. Well, for the simple fact,
how long have you been fighting that for,
brother? All my fucking life. I've been in and out since I was 12 years of age.
Are you sure you weren't winning that fight at the start? Like, no. How long until you've been fighting that and getting the best of it?
The last, that for me, I got out and I said, "That's it. I'm going to do something that's going to be big." So I became the first in the world and rode a push bike from Snapper Rocks on the Gold Coast. It's today, 15.
That's when I first heard of you. Yeah.
5 years ago today, brother. Is the day that I finished it in Cottesloe Beach, Perth. Exactly today. 5 years today as we're recording. Yep. Yep. So that's a pretty special day. Just see, there you go. You just triggered it. But for me, I was a federal offender for the importation. So I had years of parole ahead of me.
What was that, Rack?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And I had years ahead of me in parole. I lived on a border town. I couldn't get across to work. The town I lived in was just a redneck town, fucking, and too bad if people disagree with it. Well, fucking, it is. You know, like, it was. But at the end of the day, I had to come up with something. So I just put all my energy into training and getting my head right to then start to deal with. I made a promise to myself whilst I was in Segre that I would come out and give. I missed out on my third child being born. Out of my four children, you know, like I didn't get to see the first 3 years basically of his life. And that was because I was so far away. My missus had traveled anywhere. She would get on a plane. She would drive with kids in the car. And I said, nah, no more. I was at Bathurst for the last, I think, 12 months, 8 months, 9 months, something like that. Anyway, I think I had three visits, bro, because I just said no. You just can't do this, you know.
That's not me, bro. I'll have a visit on Saturday. It'll take me to Wednesday to get over it.
But the thing is, you do your time harder, and is it fair on the kids having to come into the jail system? No, we made the choice to be there, you know.
That's what I thought too, bro. But like, I was like telling my missus, like, I can't do this shit. I don't want to do this. Like, can you just not come?
Yeah.
Like, I was calling her once a week, kind of thing, and then like. A couple of times, different times, you know what I mean? This last time I was on the phone every night, bro, because I was paranoid, guys, you know what I mean? But like, before, I was like, I'll call her once a week, and she's like, you need to call me more. Like, it's fucking doing my
head. Hey, Husky, I'm going to tell you something. You're in love, brother.
Bro, definitely.
You're finally in love. It took me fucking 17 years for my wife to teach me love. I'm going to tell you something, brother. My wife is gorgeous, and I've got, you know, nothing to complain about. Brother, I was very unaffectionate in our first 4 years.
Yeah.
And then I broke down one time and I just let it out, bro, that I'd been sexually abused as a child, these traumas, disconnection, me not being affectionate in certain ways, me not liking different things in our life that, you know, people do and couples do. I'd be like, nah, nah, nah. And she'd be like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, what's wrong? And I had to just let out. But the way it came out was not at the right time because I'd been drinking, I'd been on the rack, I was emotional.
Yeah.
And bro. I exploded in a violent way, not at her, but around me. You know, I started hitting shit and smashing shit. It was not good. But I got it out.
Another thing that I want to address too, bro, because this last 6 months I did, I was on parole for some other shit.
Mm.
But this time, I went to jail for some DV shit, bro.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people, they're like, did you bash your missus and stuff like that?
Mm.
But whatever, I fucking ended up skitzing the fuck out one time. Similar situation.
Yep.
We were moving houses, this and that. I ended up fucking just, like, losing my shit. She left. And when she left, I just lost it, bro. And I ended up smashing the house, cutting my wrist up. I've got a big fucking hole in my arm now. I went to jail with that, explaining that, you know what I mean? Like saying I fell over on a bit of glass or something, punched the window. That's like some embarrassing shit, you know what I mean? I'd rather not address it. It would be easier to just be like, no, nothing happened. But I can't not tell the truth, bro.
When you were growing up, brother, you were bouncing from, and we talked about this the other day, you ended up at Glen Innes. It's a cold place up there, and, you know, like, it's... what was it like?
I think, like, because I was going from docks to docks to docks and just, like, causing ruckuses in families and being, like, I was a bad kid. Like, people say there's no such thing as a bad kid. Like, whatever, bro. I was proper bad, like, evil. Like, I wanted to make people upset.
You were angry and hating on life, hating on the world at a young child?
I was angry, bro. And people, my fists were clenched constantly. And, like, my nan would say, like, let your fists go. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? And then I'd, oh, okay. And she'd always know when I was anxious because, like, I'd always do shit like this. I'd probably do it in this conversation. You'll see it. You know what I mean? But I think Ox was, like, last straw. We'll send this cunt to Glen Innes to get away from Wollongong and that because these families aren't working. His mum's doing a whack, so we don't need to keep him close to his mum.
Was Dad in jail at this stage?
Yeah. Dad's done most of my life in jail. Like, I never really was around him that much. And, like, this is the thing. I kind of respect my dad more for that than my mum coming and going.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Sort of know where you stand with him and there's no bullshit, yet your mum's 1 minute in your life and then out of your life.
Yeah, so they sent me to Glen Innes, and I think I lasted about 8 months. I was up there with this family. I hated it. But I was, like, a real talented swimmer as a kid, bro. They fucking used to put me in these swimming classes after school. But I was heaps good, bro. I went to state, like, 5 times as all primary school. I would have went to the Olympics, bro. They tried to get me to go to Japan for nationals because I was winning state.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't afford it. Like, I couldn't afford to go to Japan. So, like, they were like, oh, well, don't worry about it.
But so you had to pay for it. Is that...
But I was in Glen Innes, and I was I broke into the school. And I fucking trashed up the school and shit. And I was like, I stole chocolates out of this, like, teacher's drawer. And then I was spitting, like, chocolate fucking gullies all over the school and shit. Like, and then I got caught. And then, like, the foster family was like, we don't want him. And then, like, my grandparents were like, we'll take him back. Because he's going to go to, like, a jail now. He's going to be, like, in a boys' home just because he's a ward of the state.
And can I just ask you for a sec? Because when you speak about your grandparents, you speak quite proudly and respectfully.
Yeah.
When I see your body language, like, I look at you while we're talking now. And yet, I want to ask the question, why was it not stable enough with your grandparents? Was it because they were your mum's parents and there was mum coming and going? Or what? How was it, you know, because for those that don't understand, I suppose it'd be, one to ask.
Like, I think because they come from nothing, bro. They come over, like, 10-pound poms or whatever.
Well, they're over from North Ireland.
Yeah, and, like, my pop's brother is, like, IRA.
Yeah.
Blew up, like, an equivalent of, like, a Woolworths over there in, like, a Protestant area. And it's just, like, bad. Even to this day, like, when...
So they're all Catholics as well? Catholics?
Yeah. And then, like, when my pop gets letters from overseas back in the day before they passed away, it was all opened by ASIO and shit. Like, full on the terrorist watch list, this kind of, like, just because of his brother and that. Like, they come from that life.
Yep.
Come here and they just worked hard in Wollongong Steelworks.
Yep.
And my dad's side is Serbian and that. So, like, full Wollongong, baby, you know what I mean? Like, Irish on one side, Serbian, Macedonian kind of shit on the other side.
Yep.
Full Steelworks, baby. And then...
that area down there was just... It was putrid. It was black soot just in the air. There was one pub in the town that was just... basically a brothel with drug dealers just standing around it. That was wild. There was punch-ons left, right. That one road at Port Kembla was hectic.
But my dad's punching on with cunts because they're saying they seen my mum in a brothel and shit. And then my pop's like, what cunt? What did you see my daughter wear? And then, like, it's true. Like, they're trying to help. But I think my grandparents wigged out because, like, she became a junkie. And then I was, like, making heaps of the same decisions as a kid without knowing. And they were like, fuck, we'll do whatever the government says to do. This cunt needs to be locked up in a home. He needs to go to a farm. He needs to... They did whatever they could, but, like, I just think they couldn't deal with me.
Do you think...
I had a few people get through to me as a kid.
Yep.
Like, a couple of times, there's been, like, a teacher, like, a footy coach or something, and they're like... I remember this one cunt said to me when I was young, he goes, like, you're actually a good person, and I can fucking see it, and, like, when you talk to me one-on-one, you're like an adult, and it blows my mind. And then the reports I'm getting from you at school.
Yeah, but you're an adult because you've had to grow up fucking more quicker than anybody else. You've seen shit.
It doesn't make sense. The behavior issues that you're getting and the reports I'm getting on you and then the kid that I'm sitting there talking to, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. My whole life, I've been so aware of what I'm doing. I just don't give a fuck at the time because I've got so much other shit going on. I never had time to give a fuck about little things like that. And I wanted to make people... upset, and I wanted to make people angry. I feel like the world owed me, bro, because, like, even when a teacher was yelling at me, I'm thinking, how the fuck can you raise your voice at me? My mum's a junkie. I had to pull a needle out of her arm this morning and put a blanket on her because her lips were blue, and then the ambulance come.
Then I come to school.
And then I come to school 2 hours late, and you yelled at me because of her.
Yeah, fuck that.
And then I'm like, who the fuck are you? So I'm like six in year six going, like, get the fuck out of my face, cunt. Who the fuck are you? And they're going, what the hell's wrong with this kid? The world owed me, bro. I was like, you can't yell at me. You need to be careful what you say to me because I've had some shit happen to me. But that's not how it works, bro.
No. Best thing we can do is help each other. And through conversation, brother, as fucking dark as it is, and, you know, like Suicide Alley lives with me like I know it does you daily. I'm a survivor. You're a survivor. These things are forever in our brains. You know, I talk to people who say, oh, you know, you're doing really, really well. All this sort of stuff. And I go, I'm doing really well right now because I'm in front of you. When I'm at home and I'm doing miles in my head, which I do every day, just because life looks good on the gram or it looks good when I see you in the street, I'm also processing my traumas every day. And I'm also processing how I can not fuck up. And how I can be a better dad, a better husband, a better human. And then I'm doubting myself, second-guessing myself, writing myself off and battling my demons.
You know, like, you know, it only takes 1 second.
That's right.
To absorb that and go back to what it was. Like, all you have to do is go, nah, I'm fucking got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And you're back on the fucking wagon, lad. You know what I mean? That's what comes to understand. Like, all them things you just listed... It looks like it's so many battles. How could you fucking fall off that? But they all come into the one thing where, like people don't get this. When you're, like, say, like, you're let's say you're struggling with your weight. Some fat cunt, they want to go to the gym. They want to stop eating chocolate.
Oi, I'm that fat cunt.
They don't go. Oh, like, let's say they've been going to the gym for a week. They've been off the chocolate for a week.
Yeah.
And then they have one Tim Tam. Yep. They don't go, oh, fuck it, it's all over. Back on the packet of Tim Tams a day and never going to the gym. They just, like, suck it up and they go to the gym the next day and they try not to eat the chocolate.
Yeah.
And that seems so healthy.
Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to drug addiction and stuff, bro, and mental health, they all just go, they mount up, the pressure gets so big that it gets to there and then, like, you go, oh, I'm not going to relapse, but I'll have a lapse.
I'll have a tickle.
The boys will be on the bags.
Yep.
And then I'll be like, fuck it, I'll have one. And then I end up getting on a 3-day bender.
Yep.
And then, like, I'm at the end of that bender. I'm beating myself up so hard about it. I'm going, fuck it, there's no point even trying anymore. Give up. Like, it all just mounts up so much, lad, that when you end up having a lapse, you just throw your hands up and you fuck it, bro. I ended up going on a 3-day bender. It's over. Life's so pointless. I just fucked up. Because you beat yourself up so hard because you're like, that is such a big no-no.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, why did I do this? I had everything going for myself, and then I got on that 3-day bender. You could just go, fuck it, all right, as a little lapse in my judgment. Get on with life, bro. Back to being clean. A lot of people go, fuck it, man. I fucked up everything. I'm going to disappear from my missus for 2 weeks. I'm going to get on it. I'm going to fucking do all this shit. And then by the end of it, they're fucked. They lost their kids and everything. But then I was saying a fat cunt will go to the off the chocolate and go to the gym for a week and then eat a pack of Tim Tams one night. And then the next day they'll go, nah, actually, that was a mistake. I do feel gross. I am beating myself up, but they're not beating themselves up as hard as we do. So they go, all right, I can move on and forget that happened and get back to the routine of being off the chocolate and back at the gym, and they get on with their life and they move forward. You know what I mean?
I have this conversation with people all the time.
Relapse.
You know, it's a learning curve, brother. But the thing is, I know myself, and I say this to people, and I'm guilty of it. What, do you think I fucking sit here and I make out like I'm some angel? Mate, I'll sit here and I'll just go and drink a bottle of tequila. I'll be out somewhere and, mate, if a fucking rail's there, I'll probably hit it. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Yeah. That's life, mate. I'm not here to fucking make out I'm an angel, but I'm a 10-time better person than I ever was. I'm not somebody that goes out there and gets on the piss. I'm not someone that goes and gets bags and snorts rack and fucking has an addiction. You know, I don't live like that. Yeah. But if I was to go out and play up and it turned into a fucking afternoon, into a night to the next day, then so be it. And that's just what happens. Yeah. Get over it. Then that is the next day. It's a new day. I'm alive. I'm breathing.
I'm hearing you. And it makes sense. But, like, imagine when you just got out of jail and you promised your missus you were never going to do this again, and then you've done done so well for 12 months, and then you did one fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, remember how bad you beat yourself up? And you're like, fuck it, I'm fucked up. I'm a fucking piece of shit. I don't deserve to be happy.
Say you don't deserve to be happy, I think this is something that, you know, this is a mindset. And you'll understand this.
I suffer that shit. It's called survivor's guilt, though. That's what they reckon. It's because I've seen so many people from where I come from not make it. You know, I had best friends. I had friends that, like, I don't know why I'm so attached to women. Even as a kid, I was good friends with girls, and it used to break my heart that, like, they were treated different to us, kind of, I think. Like, without getting too political on it. I always thought, like, how unfair is it that, like, a girl can walk down the street with a pussy and cunts can look at him and want to take that?
And, yeah, like, be an object, like, be an object.
We walk down the street with, like, $1 million in the backpack.
Mm.
You know that feeling where it's like, I need to check the bag every 10 minutes to check if cunts are locked, and you feel like people are watching you.
Yeah, who's looking at me? Who's looking at me? You know what I mean?
A girl could feel like that every day with the creeps around.
Well, they become an object, don't they? And this is the problem. And this is your 100%.
I was a worker in that. Yeah. And I was raised a little bit with my mom's house. It's a legit brothel, bro. She's getting chicks working out of the spare room, man, my whole life. And then these girls were like 20, 25, and they, like, I was a cute little kid, and, like, they kind of wanted to teach me shit.
Yeah.
And I ended up learning things different ways, you know what I mean? And, like, I don't know, man. As a kid, it used to break my heart that some of my friends that had the same parents as me, they were so much better people than me, these little girls, and they're so much more innocent.
Yeah.
And they deserved so much more than what I thought I deserved, but they still got stitched up the same.
Yeah.
And then now they've got with a boyfriend and they fucking ended up on heroin, and now they are their mum. That breaks my heart, bro. I can't look at them people and be like, I deserve to make it and you didn't. I think, how did I get out and they didn't? That's not fair. I'd give up my spot right now to get 10 of them cunts through.
Yeah, but that shows the sort of man you are, brother. And I'm gonna be very honest here, and I said it at the beginning. You're very real and you're honest, and that's what I love about you. And you just made that very clear in what you just said then. You could have the world at your feet. You have such a big following in your music, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, you're recluse and you're just on your own. You still feel one out. You've got your family. You've locked down with your wife and your child, and you're just doing you. You know what I mean? But yet, on the other hand, you have this heart of compassion, like you just said, where you feel that, why should I have that opportunity of being able to be better than what I was, or, you know, have a different card dealt now, but yet when you look around or across the road or down the street or you go down to old mate's house and you know that what's going on, you go, but, well, they deserve it too, you know?
Yeah, they didn't have it half as bad as me, and they still never made it, bro. It's like,
how old were you, Ben, when you first started addiction? What was the age? And I know, obviously, born a dome baby makes it very difficult, yeah. But
that's probably like when I had my own choice of that. You know what I mean? Like I tried smoking weed when I was a kid, this and that. Never got high or nothing. But as soon as I started smoking bongs, I was in like year six with the older boys, and I remember I lied to them all, and I was like, bro, I've smoked weed heaps of times.
Mm.
Heaps of times. And they're like, whatever. And then they just gave it to me. Because it probably made sense to them.
Yeah.
I was a bit older than all the other boys.
Yeah, but think about the life that you've lived, and that's
why. Yeah, I remember them being like, no, we're not giving it to any of your mates, but like, whatever, you can have one.
Yeah.
And I talked them into giving me one. And like, I kind of just was straight into it then and there, because I started realizing, like you said, like, with people that are on drugs, their house is the place to go at a kid. I could smoke bongs. I had a glass bong at my house. No one had that shit when we were in year six, year seven.
No, that's right. The Orchie bottles.
All boys, like, first drug experiences were, like, at my house.
Yeah.
And like I said, even to this day, it breaks my heart, bro, because some of my best friends, some of the two people specifically, they're in jail now doing 20 life sentences, you know what I mean? They might get out in 15, but they're doing life.
Yeah.
And one of my mates, he's psychosis, gets out, he cut someone's Achilles tendon and took him up to the boy. He went on with it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just a young little Aboriginal boy that fucking I grew up with, and my mum ended up giving him a shot of dexamphetamines because he was on Ritalin.
Yeah.
And she wanted to shoot it up, that's how it was, and he was like, no. And then she was like, it'll get you way more high. And that's happened a couple of times in my life, bro, with my friends.
That's
pretty
heavy.
Once I was on the heroin, I was smoking, and I had a bit of a habit.
So you also, too, obviously went down the road of the gear, the heroin as well?
Yeah.
How old were you, brother, when that started to take, like, I mean?
16, 17. When I started making trips to Sydney.
Yeah.
I was getting lost in Sydney, in the city, and that's when, like, I started fucking up on that shit. But, yep. Like, I never used needles, and then I think that's probably the reason I'm still here, kind of.
So you never used, you just chased it?
Yeah, I just smoked it and that. But fucking a couple of the boys, bro, they fucked. I remember I was smoking it, and me and my mate, we were sick. We were getting sick. But, like, just sniffly and no shit. Not sick, hanging out, drunky.
Yeah.
We were kids, but we couldn't cope with it.
Yep.
So my mum's like, I can get it on 4 years. I'll do it. I don't want to, but I will. She went and got it, and then she come back, and because she wanted some for herself, she just put it all in the spoon. And we're going, where's ours? She goes, oh, no, I'm going to split it up into three. And we were like, no, we smoke it. And she was like, well, this is how everyone does it. I was like, well, I'm not doing mine. Squirt it in my mouth. My mate goes, nah, man, that's a waste. And my mum goes, nah, it's a waste. So I go, no, I don't care. Squirt it in my mouth. There's no other option now. We're fucked. Yeah. It's either that or in the bin. Squirt it in my mouth. My mate didn't see that or in the bin. He thought it was either that or in my arm. And he chose to put it in his arm, and he's just fucked now, bro. He's doing life as well, bro.
That'd be hard. That'd be so hard. And I get what you're saying, especially now.
I definitely blame myself.
The guilt. For that shit. Guilt.
I've learned to deal with it, and I'm like, no, there's nothing I could have done. But still, I'm like, fuck, man. Did that have to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, that's heavy, brother. It's a lot to live with for you, isn't it? Especially when you think about that, or you know, if you met them in jail or bumped into them and you look at them, you know they're doing that whack, and you're just going, bro,
they're my best friends, lad. Like, and then they've ended up like stealing off me, and then I've fucking bashed them or getting a fight. One of the cunts bashed me actually, and I've got in a fight with this cunt because he stole my phone. And like, I'm thinking, like, bro, he stole the phone because he had that habit that my mum gave him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, can you really be mad?
You know,
I still blame myself. I was like, bro, it's my fault.
You got me. You stumped me on this one because...
Like, you shouldn't have to deal with that shit from your mum.
No, you know? No, you shouldn't. And I guess that's what I was about to say is, you know, the chain of guilt needs to fucking stop right now. You can't carry that because you know what's going to happen? It's going to ruin your person. It's going to ruin your relationships. It's going to ruin everything. And you know what? Somewhere down the line, it'll come off onto your children, and then your children will be carrying your guilt. That's a generational thing.
Yeah.
You know what? I vowed to break. I've got a 22-year-old son too. And, you know, unfortunately, our relationship's distant because of the years that I spent away. And it was different. I wasn't a present father, you know, back then. I was in clubs. I was doing things But
same here. I got a son as well, bro.
There like, you go. So you know what I'm talking about. I've got three beautiful children, you know, from 14 down to 7, who just the apple of the eye is dad, you know, and they're my world. And I think now and I go, you know what? I'm not going to give them my traumas. I'm not going to let them. They know. We've talked about it because they understand, you know, especially the fact that, you know, going through child abuse, sexual abuse, you know, committing crimes that I've committed, obviously to certain things. I'm not going to disclose everything, but they need to know. They knew I was in jail. You only got to Google dad's name, and the world is a place of technology. These 6-year-old kids can know and read. You know, do you sit there and make lies and then your kid come up and go, why'd you lie to me? And then you ruin that relationship. Or
I'm fucking that scared that it's just already happened. Like, just because, like, I never was around my dad, bro. He was, like I said, he'd done 9-10 years jail for that string of bank robberies around Campbelltown ways. He's from Wollongong. You probably know because you're from Ayres. A lot of cunts from Campbelltown went to Wollongong to do their crime.
Yes, we used to get out of Wollongong and make
used to go to Campbelltown to do their crimes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We used to rob your banks, you used to rob our banks.
straight down Appin Road and out the back of your fucking...
100%, right? I'm exactly like him, bro. Like, down to, like, tiny little details. Like, me and him.
Yeah.
And he never... He only passed that on through his genes. He never taught me these things, bro. And, like, we're both out here...
Is dad out today?
Yeah, he's... But he's on the ice, bro. And you probably know from seeing it. Cunts on the heroin.
Yep.
They don't get fried in the brain. They turn to junkies. Their body deteriorates, whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't really get fried. I was more comfortable seeing my dad do that.
Yeah.
Because even to this day, I go to jail and I'm kind of like ashamed of my dad. So like people go, I know your dad. And I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah. I've never heard anyone say a bad word about him. They always, he's like a full staunch cunt, bro. He's done jail. He's kept his mouth shut. He's like done
he's
things
old
in jail
school.
That everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He got taught to rob banks from Darcy Duggan.
Yeah.
That Darcy Dugan, whatever.
Darcy Dugan, yeah.
Yeah, that's why my middle name's Darcy, Benjamin Darcy. You know,
wow.
Like, that was his, like, older, you know what I mean? So, like, he's well-respected, bro, but I don't know that because I think of what I know of him.
You know, it's funny, Buck, and I'm going to just jump in here because you talk about well-respected. Now, your dad got it through his criminality, and that's his life. Look. At his age, whether he wants to make a difference, that's his choice. Very hard to flip the coin. Can be done.
Back in the day, you know?
That's right. But it can be done. He could be whatever he wants to be at any age. But you talk about the respect in that too. You talk about you and your dad being so much alike. Let's put it in perspective. You have the respect as well. You go hard at what you do as well. You are knocking down doors just like your dad was kicking them in.
You're right, bro.
So I think you should have a real good fucking think about that because you know what? And that's on the flip side of what dad was doing back then when you were a kid growing up to what you're doing today, brother. And you're doing it in a way that's actually providing for your family. It's legit and it's successful and you're inspiring fucking thousands and thousands and thousands of people by your truth, by your realism, not by your bullshit.
Bro, that's weird you say that because we got this weird likability about us, bro, and it's fucked up. I don't know what it is, cause like my dad's the same, bro. This is the only way I can break it down. You know what an anti-hero is?
A what?
An anti-hero.
Someone that's not a hero.
It's someone that you support, like the Joker.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People like the Joker, but he's the villain.
Yes.
The difference between an anti-hero and a supervillain is the anti-hero has an obvious weakness. So the Joker has mental health issues, rah, rah, rah. So you kind of relate to him, and you're like, that's why he does the bad things he does.
It's understandable.
Mm. And the villain has no weakness, so they're just a piece of shit. You get it? Like,
yeah, I do.
Me and my dad, people like me for not... I haven't done many good things, but people like me still. You get me? They want to see me win, but I'm doing the wrong, like, you know what I mean? I'm not a hero, but people look up to me like I am almost.
Do you know how many lives you have saved? And I'm gonna know you're going to be real humble here, and I know that you're going to be fucking modest, not real, but put all that aside and be real, real fucking real like you are. Do you know how many people are still alive today through your actions and music and what you have done? And I'm going to say it because it's a fucking fact, whether you want to hear it or not.
I hope so, bro.
You are a superhero to so many people because you've been able to help them understand who they are through sharing your lived experience. And that is more powerful than anything, brother. You got to be honest.
Like, if you get what I'm saying, go back to what I was saying. Like, people, like, I really have been talking about having a drug addiction and mental health issues, right?
Mm.
It's not really what people want to be like, yeah, this can't look up to this guy with the drug habit and the mental health issue.
But they're already there, Husky, looking for a way out, brother, and you're letting them realise.
Because there's an obvious weakness, which is that I might be doing bad things and fucking saying bad things and going to jail and doing this, but people still want to support me because they kind of relate to why I do the things. And I'm kind of now looking back on that going like, it never made sense to me. And that now kind of makes sense. I'm like, bro, and what you just said, but my dad is exactly the same, cuz my dad, he's been a piece of shit. But like, I always respected him because he never wanted to be a piece of shit. He really did try. And like, like I said, he was not in and out of my life being like, I'm clean and then I'm a junkie. And I'm clean and then I love you and then I'm a junkie. Get the fuck out of here, bashing me, letting their boyfriends fucking rape me and shit.
Yeah.
Like, he was always just like, I'm a drug addict, I can't look after you, sorry. And I relate to that, and I understand. You get me?
Yeah, I do, bro.
It's like that. He's not a villain. My mum's a super villain.
Yep.
She doesn't have no weakness like that. She's just evil. I can't see why she acted like she did. She had good parents. I grew up with her parents, my grandparents. I don't know why the fuck she ended up like she did. But my dad, I understand, bro.
You know what? That I'm going to open up about something. You talk about that. My father and I didn't talk for many, many years. My father, when I was younger, was violent, alcoholic, beat the fuck out of me hard, you know, my mother back then. And, you know, it got to a point when I was 18, I'd just come out on bail from the bay. I just got pinched and then I got this big, you know, you're a big man now, big man, that sort of attitude, come out drinking. And I said to him, I said, just don't come near me, you know. I was at that age now where I'm not going to take anybody's shit, let alone, you know. And mind you, today, and I put this very clearly, we're best mates, and this is many, many years ago. My father hasn't touched a drink in 30 years, and, like, I love him to death. But
he's a coach, he sees your kids, this and that, that's mad.
Yeah, bro, but the thing is now, we can talk about it. Now, my point of the conversation is, I didn't know that my father was suppressing so much. My father was also sexually abused. You know what I mean? And he never spoke of it. And it's only been in the last probably 5 or 6 years, and he's 70-odd years of age, that he's seen me go through the process of justice and compensation or whatever from my abuse that I endured, that I've said, Dad, you've got to let this go. You're not always going to be here. I don't want you to go to the grave, you know? Like, it was one phone call. But, Husky, the moment he rang me years ago, it was at midnight. It was random. And I'm thinking, fuck, why is he ringing? Is he because he's been really ill? Is this bad? You know, what's going on? And I asked him, what are you doing? He goes, son, I need to talk to you. And it was the most random phone call. And he opened up to me. And at that very moment, like you just said, I had very little respect for him back then. I was like, nah, fuck him. Didn't speak to him for years. Wouldn't matter. And our relationship started to rebuild over many, many years to back where we are now as father and son and best mates. And I understand. I know why he was the way he was. I was exactly the same.
Yeah, bro.
You know, I wasn't beating on my wife. I wasn't doing that shit, but I was beating on me and being an angry man and violent and fuck, mate, I was ruthless because I was suppressed with all this anger and abuse and trauma. But by the moment I let it go, I went boom. Now, how can I be dirty on my old man now knowing what he had to go through and the years of suppression and the alcoholism and all that sort of stuff? How can I hate on that? I get it. All right, you beat the fuck out of me when I was a kid, what have you. But was that really him, or was it somebody that...
It's some obvious weakness that you can relate to.
You get it, eh, bro? You get it as you get older. You understand, you know? Like, but yet my mother, I have nothing to do with, bro.
I've got a line in one of my songs. It goes, I used to hate you, now I relate to you. Because the same things I used to hate my parents for, I now relate to them for. You know what I mean? I can relate to having a kid. Like, not to the extent, but I can still relate. Like, I could put myself in their shoes. Like, bro, I've been 20 years old. Well, I'm a bit older, but I've been, like, young with a baby. Yeah. And it's overwhelming, bro. But I've never been, like, here, look after my kid, and then gone to Queensland to be a fucking prostitute and never come back. But I can put myself in a situation where, like, they would have done, they would have been feeling almost like I'm feeling. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm stressing out. I need help. Lucky I can deal with that. I somehow relate to them. I used to hate them for this shit. I used to hate them for being weak and letting drugs get the best of them. But now I'm like, bro, I understand.
Part 2 continues tomorrow.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. For the record, you ain't trying to grow that stunt for you. For the record, lab on me going all the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. For the record, 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 for the record.